please, and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Hadn't your hearts been stirred already? Wonderful music. There's something about music around the Christmas time. It just seems to make you realize how much you miss it, you know? You hear it, you hear these songs, it just thrills you to think about these things. Well, we're going to read a familiar passage of Scripture this morning, Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. You think, what are you going to get out of this for Christmas? But I think you'll understand as we look into it. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, of course, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, helping them to understand some wonderful things about the Lord. He says in verse number 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I'd like you to take notice of what the Bible says. Verse number 8, it says, "It is the gift of God." And I want to preach this morning on the greatest gift of all. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that Thy will would be done. Help me as I stand to preach. Lord, I know within myself I can't preach with any power. But I pray that the Spirit of God would indwell me and somehow, some way, use me to reveal the very message and the very thoughts that You have for us to hear. I pray that You'd be with the listeners today. May we hear exactly what we need to hear. And Lord, may Thy will be accomplished. Be with everyone in this place. Be with those that are here that are saved. They have no doubt about it. They know that heaven's going to be their home. I pray that You'll bless them and encourage them through Thy Word. I pray for those that are here, they're saved, but they're not where they're supposed to be. They're not living for You the way that You'd have them be living. I pray that today they'd be helped to move forward in their Christian life. And then, Lord, I pray for those that are here without Christ as Savior. Lord, may they realize today that this greatest gift of all is a gift that You gave especially for them. And may they trust Thee. May Thy will be done. We give this whole service to Thee. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. It was Christmas time. You see it on every corner and every store you go. Of course, we've been seeing it since about July in some stores. You walk in and you see the Christmas trees and you see all the different things beginning early in the fall and sometimes before summer's out. But now we're down to the time where people will be getting together and families will be gathering around the Christmas tree and passing out gifts, no doubt, or reading the story of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. And it's an exciting time. But in the time that we're in, and the time and the season of the year that we're in, there's of course going to be so much emphasis on gifts. There's great anticipation. There's no doubt some of you are excited about that box you're going to be opening, about that thing you're going to be unwrapping, you know? And by the way, it's not just the kids that get excited. I can't wait to see what I'm getting, you know? It's exciting to me. But more than, I love to give gifts. You know, there's something about handing something to somebody, and even if it's just a small thing, to be able to give something, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I believe I'd love to give everything away if I could afford to do that. And I know most of you would do the same thing. You'd give everything away. And people have been so kind to us. But with all this great anticipation, thinking about the gifts, thinking about getting gifts and giving gifts, there's one gift that far exceeds all others that you'll receive on Christmas Day. There's one gift that's greater than all gifts. And we dare not say it's at the top of the list of all the gifts ever given, because there's no list worthy to ever even have this on it, because it's on a list all by itself. It ranks up there as the greatest gift the world has ever known. No other gift could ever be named with this gift. It is the gift of God. It's the greatest gift of all. When we think about it, I want you to realize it's a gift of love. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is a gift of love. It's not only a gift of love, it's a gift of grace. For our text this morning says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It is the gift of God. What is grace? There's been many different definitions. It's the unmerited favor of God. It's something that everybody can have, but no one deserves. As somebody said, you can use it as an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. But all I can tell you is that it is a gift of love, it is a gift of grace, and it is a gift that only God could give. The Bible says in verse number 9, it says in verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse number 9, the Bible says that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, this is not a gift that you can earn. This is not a gift that you can bring upon yourself. It is a gift of God. It's nothing that there's nothing you can do to merit this gift. It's something that God gives to everyone who's willing to receive it. It's a wonderful gift. And with all these things in mind, there's some things that we must understand about this greatest gift of all. And I want you to remember this morning. I want you to write it down. I want you to think about it. I want you to realize that this greatest gift that the world has ever known, this greatest gift of all, this gift of love, this gift of grace, this gift that only God could give is a gift, first of all, that redeems. This gift redeems. You say, how can a gift redeem? Well, it purchases your salvation. The Bible says, I want you to look with me in the book of Romans, if you will. Please turn there. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 6 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to look with me at Romans chapter number 3, though, if you will. Verse 21. While the Bible says the wages of sin is death and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord, it gives us some insight to this. Chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. I like that. There is no difference. For all have sinned. Oh, we can stop right there. For all have sinned. I don't care who you are today. I do not care your background. I do not care if you drive the most expensive automobile or the least expensive automobile. I do not care if you live in a mansion or if you live in a small shack. It does not matter. The Bible says, for all have sinned. One thing you must realize is all of us are sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody needs to be redeemed. You were born a sinner. God made you. God created you. And dear friend, God gave us the gift of grace so that He could buy you back to redeem you. The Bible teaches us that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You want to know how to get to heaven today? You must be in Christ. You must know the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, we have to understand this. Paul was writing to these Romans. Paul's writing to many people. There was the thought of the law, the old covenant. That's the way it was. The Old Testament gave us the law. And the law was never anything that could redeem us. The law just helped us to realize that we were sinners in need of a Savior, in need of something. Every year there were sacrifices made. Every year there were sacrifices made for the sins of the people. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, He was the final sacrifice. He was the one sacrifice that satisfied God. And the Bible teaches us that whosoever believeth in Him will be redeemed. So this gift, this greatest gift of all, is a gift that redeems. See, the law condemned us. The law bound us. But the gift of God frees us and it redeems us. And it allows us to be worthy to be in His presence. Just a few chapters over, chapter number 8, I want you to take note of what the Bible says concerning this law and this grace. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Listen to this. For what the law, verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Bible's teaching us some wonderful things. The Bible says that the law condemns us, but that Christ fulfilled the law. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died to pay for our sin debt. Christ was perfect. He never sinned. He never had an evil thought. He never committed one act of sin. But when they nailed Him to the cross, all the sins of all the world were placed upon Him. Your sin and my sin was placed upon the Son of God, and He nailed them to the cross. Dear friends, there's no way that we could work or do enough to take us to heaven. As the Bible says here in Romans 8, our flesh is weak. But God's greatest gift took care of all of it. The song says, Calvary covered it all. I'm glad today when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary that He died for all the sins of all the world. Not only do we need to understand that this gift, this greatest gift of all, redeems us, we must see that this gift must be received. It's one thing to have the gift offered, but it's another thing to receive the gift. This gift has been offered to the world. For the Bible says, for God so loved who? The world. Did the Bible say, for God so loved the Jews? Did the Bible say, for God so loved the Gentiles? Did the Bible say, for God so loved the United States of America? The Bible says, for God so loved the world. And when we think about that, yes, for God so loved the Jews would fit. For God so loved the Gentiles would fit. For God so loved North America and South America and Africa, and man, we can look at all of it in Europe, but the Bible makes it clear, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So Him giving His Son, does that mean that everybody's just automatically got it? No. Because the Bible says that whosoever believeth in Him, you have to receive this gift. It's a gift that's been offered. It's a gift that God has given to the world. It's the greatest gift of all. The Bible says in John chapter number 1, verse 12 and 13, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. The Bible goes on and says, those that were born not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, not of blood, but of God. The Bible says, everyone that receives Him, the Bible teaches us that we're born of God. Isn't that a wonderful gift? Isn't it a wonderful thing to think that as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God? In other words, everybody that receives this gift that God has given becomes a part of the family of God. I like it when we sing that song, don't you? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. You see, that makes us family. It doesn't matter the color of my skin. If I'm saved, you're saved. We're part of the family. And it's the greatest family that the world has ever known, because we get it from the greatest gift that the world has ever known. The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter number 19, I want you to turn there with me, would you? Luke chapter 19, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Verse number 1. You know what, every time I say about one of the stories in the Bible, I say it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. The story of Joseph is one of my favorite stories. The story of David is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I love the story of Gideon. It's a great story, isn't it? I love to read about Daniel. I love to read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's a great story. I love to read about Moses, the crossing of the Red Sea, the crossing of the Jordan. I love to read about Joshua, where he says, as for me and my house, we will serve. Boy, there's some great stories in the Bible. Well, every time I read one, I think, that's one of my favorite stories. So you want to know what my favorite story is? It's the one that I'm just reading. Whichever one it is, it's always, that's one of my favorites. But isn't that the way it's supposed to be? You know, shouldn't that be what's affecting your life right then? Well, here we have the story of a man by the name of Zacchaeus. I know I've preached on Zacchaeus here before several times. You know the song we used to sing as little kids? How's it go? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. I like that, don't you? I think that ought to be the choir special next week. Especially since I'm not going to be here. It really ought to be the choir special. Brother Ray will be looking, thinking, what in the world? Are you singing? But I think about this story. The Bible says, in Luke 19, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And look at this, verse number 6. And he made haste and came down, what'd he do? And received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with the man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know what happened? There was an offer made to Zacchaeus. Come down. Abide with me. Zacchaeus is up in the tree. Zacchaeus had two choices that day. He could have stayed in the tree, or he could have come down and received the Lord. This is a gift that's offered, but it has to be received. It's something that you must take. It's there. God is offering the greatest gift of all. When we're passing out Christmas presents on Tuesday, you know, there's not a lot of thought that's going to be going into how much effort went into getting these presents or all these different things. But here's a gift that we must realize the importance of it. Boy may get a football, and that football can be lost. You may get some gift that's precious, or, you know, and something would happen to it, and it could be gone. Maybe somebody gives you a piece of jewelry, and that piece of jewelry comes up missing, you know? You just misplaced it. But when you receive this gift, it's never gone. It's always there. That's a great gift. It doesn't matter what you do, you can't throw it away. Why? It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Please, get a hold of this. Please have an understanding of this. There's something we must realize. Zacchaeus had heard of him. Zacchaeus had now seen him, but now Zacchaeus receives him. Well, you've heard of him. You've heard of him. You've seen evidence of him. You've seen him in people's lives. You've heard the story of how Jesus was born in a manger through the womb of a virgin, and how that at 12 years of age he marveled the scribes and the Pharisees as he was teaching in the synagogue. You've heard how he had a ministry about 3 years here in this world, here on this earth, started with a miracle at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, and how all these things transpired. You heard of how he's died on the cross, how that he never sinned, but they nailed him to the cross. You've heard of how he was buried in a borrowed tomb. You've heard how he rose again the third day. You've seen in the life of others the evidence of them being changed because of him. You've seen drunkards possibly made into preachers. You've seen people with terrible reputations at one time now singing in the choir. You've heard it. You've seen it. But that's not enough. You have to receive the gift. And you know what? He's standing there offering himself. Here I am. It's the gift of God. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him. Here's the gift. It's yours. By the way, who can receive this gift? The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 5, verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemn, to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But listen to this. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Who can receive it? All. When Jesus died, he died for all. So will you receive the greatest gift of all? Your greatest Christmas ever could be this Christmas. If you've never trusted Christ, this could be the greatest Christmas of your life, because you could receive the greatest gift of all. Well, not only do we think about this gift and we see how it redeems and that how it must be received, we must also understand after we receive it, it requires. Oh yes, this gift requires. I want you to look with me the book of Luke chapter number 12. Would you please? Luke chapter number 12. Verse 42. The Bible says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maiden servants, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now don't take this out of context. This is a parable that's given to us. It's a story cast along. There's a truth cast alongside this story to help us to understand certain things. This is not a story about the Lord Jesus. This is a story about a master and their servants. But what we have to understand that now as Christ, as our Savior, we have a responsibility. For whomsoever much is given, much shall be required. You can never lose your salvation because it's the gift of God. When God gives you something, dear friends, it is eternal. It's forever. But what we must understand is that once we receive this gift, we're required to be faithful stewards of what God has given to us. And God has given us a responsibility, if you will. God has shown us some wonderful things. God is helping us to understand that believers have been given much, and we must do with God what God wants us to do with our lives. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, we then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? Paul's writing to the Corinthians and he says, don't receive the grace of God in vain. For He has said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves ministers, as the ministers of God. And it gives a list: in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers, yet true, as unknown, yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. You know what the Bible's saying? We're to live our life for the Lord. And through it all, we're to give God the glory. And there's going to be persecutions and distresses. There's going to be times when people are going to tell false things about you. You just keep your eyes on the Lord. There's going to be times when there's not enough money to make it to the end of the month, but God's going to prove Himself. Don't get down in the mouth. Just live for the Lord. There's going to be times when you don't think you're going to be able to make it through something that you're going through, but just look unto the Lord and He'll give you the strength that you need. That's what this grace requires, because this grace is all about helping others to see God's work in your life. If you were here in the Sunday school hour this morning, you would have heard about how God takes certain things in our life and certain troubles and sorrows, and He uses that to form us and to mold us and to get us ready for what God has before us. Don't misunderstand me. These requirements that we're talking about are not in order to keep the gift, but that you'll be able to share this gift with others. The greatest witnesses I've ever seen for the Lord are people that's gone through difficult times. The greatest. They fought the battles, and God's proven Himself. As we think about this gift that God has given to us, may we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do with the gift that God has given, we will ultimately find of this greatest gift. Number four, well, first of all, we see it redeems. The second thing we see is how that God's grace has to be received. The third thing we see is that it requires. But the fourth thing we must understand is this greatest gift rewards. It's great rewards when you receive this gift. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his work. You want to know why we need to pay attention to these requirements? Because God's going to reward us for what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we take our stand, when we're doing what God would have us to do, it's not always easy. When you say, I'm going to stand upon the book, there's going to be persecutions that'll come. Look, we're living in a day where people laugh and make fun of this book. Everywhere I go and they wish me a happy holiday, I say, Merry Christmas. Matter of fact, I say it if they don't even say it. I've said it just about everywhere I've been lately. I say, Merry Christmas. Hope you have a Merry Christmas. Hope you have a one. And you know, I don't care what anybody else thinks. Christmas is about Christ. And I'm not letting anybody think any different. I don't want them to think, well, you know, last year we had the meal. It was Thanksgiving meal and Christmas meal. And I thought, well, we'll call that a holiday meal. And then all that stuff came out. And I said, it'll never be called a holiday meal around here again. It's going to be Christmas dinner. And that's what we did, wasn't it? I don't care if it is Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm still calling it Christmas. If we have to, I'll call it Thanksgiving Christmas dinner. I don't know. But I want to put it in there. And by the way, God has given us the greatest gift of all. And here's the wonderful thing about this gift. We can give as much of it away as we possibly can, and we'll never have any less of it than what we already have. We'll never have any more of it. Do you know when you got saved, you got it all? You'll never be more saved or less saved, ever. Because salvation is salvation. Saved is saved. Now, rewards are different. You're going to heaven if you're saved. But when you get there, don't you want to receive a reward? Don't you want to have some crowns to cast at the feet of Jesus? Don't you want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Oh, there's some rewards to this greatest gift of all. The rewards are real. The rewards are true. I want you to look with me, if you will, and I'm closing. Matthew chapter number 5. We're living in a day, we're living in a world, we're living in a time where Christianity is persecuted, discriminated against more than any other what people would call religion. I don't like to place it in that category because Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. But as we look at this, I want you to see as we're laughed and mocked and ridiculed. I've read stories how that kids at school can wear shirts, rock music, and demonic images all over it, but they can't carry a Bible. By the way, they can. The law states that they can. We let the world buffalo us. We let them kid us into thinking you can't do this. By the way, do you realize that you cannot be stopped from witnessing at your workplace, in your schools, anywhere you go, you can't be stopped. Now you have to be right in how you do that. We don't force our religion, our belief, our convictions on anybody. As a matter of fact, Baptists are known. We don't believe in coercion. That's the reason that we don't baptize infants. Right? That's coercing. That's forcing something upon them without them having a choice in the matter. Right? So you understand that. So what's happening in this day is that you can be a Muslim and it's all right. You can be a Catholic and it's all right. You can be a Jehovah's Witness and it's all right. You can be a Mormon and it's all right. But when you're a Christian and you lift up the name of Christ, they're like, "Oh boy, that's terrible. Y'all are so narrow-minded." And they start really fussing about it. But what's the Bible say? Verse 11. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." In other words, it don't matter what this world has to say. But one day we're going to stand before the Lord. And the Bible says that we're going to give an account of what we've done with the Lord. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to the Lord. I'm going to stand for me. You're going to stand for you. We'll give an account. And we may get laughed at and mocked and ridiculed and made fun of here in this world. Well, they did that to the prophets, didn't they? They did that to Daniel, didn't they? They did that to Jeremiah, didn't they? Did that to Isaiah and to Ezekiel. We see that they did it to the prophets of old. What do you think it was like when they got to see the Lord face to face? For great is your reward in heaven. But you'll never get to heaven until you receive the greatest gift of all. There's no price tag on this gift. Jesus paid it all with His blood on the cross of Calvary. If I were to stand before you today with a $1 bill, and I were to offer you that $1 bill, you would have a choice, wouldn't you? I say, this is yours. It's a gift. Not going to cost you anything. It's yours. It's all yours. I'm not offering it because I'm not as good as the Lord. Last time I offered it, I lost it because my son got it. And I told him, I said, if you take it, it's yours. He took it. It was his. Not for long. It was spent. But if I were to offer this gift, it's simply a $1 bill. And I would say, this is the gift from me to you. It's yours to have. You can take it. You can have this gift. It's a gift from me to you. It's his Christmas present. This is it, sister. You've got two choices. It's yours. You can. I knew she'd take it. Because it was a gift. But she could have said, how many of you, service after service, Sunday after Sunday, moment after moment, the Lord Jesus has said, I'm ready. I want you. I'm giving you myself. And you've said, I've got a few things I want to do. I've got this. I want to get beyond this. Look here. You're going to have troubles before you're saved or after you're saved. The difference is, you know, somebody told me, said, ever since I've done this for the Lord, said, I've had troubles. I said, do you ever think that maybe God was so gracious as to let you trust Him so that He can go with you through these things? Instead of you, because troubles are coming. It doesn't, if you receive Christ or you reject Christ, troubles are coming. But when you receive Christ, you have somebody that says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So everything you go through, He's right there. So you're going to receive Him or are you going to reject Him? It's the greatest gift of all. You might be excited about getting something Tuesday, but the newness will wear off. The shine will go away. The sentiment may go away. You may get something and it tear up. You may get a brand new dress, in my case, get a brand new suit, and you can't always wear it. You may get a brand new oven and it break down eventually. Every gift you get here is going to go away, as far as things you can take and hold. But when you get the Lord Jesus Christ, it's eternal. And you'll never get more of Him. But the key is to let Him get more of you as life goes along. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for loving us. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the greatest gift of all. Every time I come across that passage,